Praise the Lord. Now we're going. We're working. I thought it froze up. A little chilly in here, isn't it? Well, thank you for all coming out tonight. We're all hungry, right? And sitting at home does not make it, does it? No. Well, Father, we just thank you and we praise you that for those who came out tonight. Father God, because they did come out, I want you to do a very special thing for them tonight. Meet them right at their point of need. Father God, strip everything from them that is not of you, Lord. In other words, make the enemy back off. Set them free, Father God, totally, completely, 100% to worship you and praise you. From this day forth, Father God, never allowing the enemy to ever have an inroad in their lives. And Father God, I thank you for your angelic army that's going, you've already sent forth to minister to your people. And tonight, Father God, open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes so we can see and hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a whole lot of things going on in the world and in the body of Christ. God is on the move in an unprecedented way. The enemy is doing the very same thing. He's moving violently throughout the body of Christ. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And the only way he can do that is if we allow him. And we have to fight, guys. We have to fight like we've never fought before. I saw a heading saying, right now is when heaven and hell are colliding. And I can say amen to that, can't you? Because the devil, he's just furious. And if you read the bulletin, they're all prophetic words that God has given me in the last couple of days. And they're powerful words. And God is, he's really getting ready to do something really great. And I want each one of you in here tonight to understand that your callings and your giftings are without repentance. In other words, God doesn't take them back. And he's going to increase those callings and those giftings. He's going to use the body of Christ in a way he's never used them before. Now, if you think you're tired of hearing that after 5 years, how do you think I'm tired of hearing it after 30 years? Amen? I know what it is to walk in the fullness of God, and I know what it is to walk in a dry desert. And I'm tired of the dry desert, but he's taken me out of the desert, and I feel wonderful. And I know that he can bring each and every one of you out of the desert also. Tonight I want to talk about 2017 is a year of fullness of blessings and divine abundance. Genesis 49:22 says, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bough, his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is a shepherd, the stone of Israel. So let's read that again. But his bow remained in strength, even though the enemy was fighting him, we've just read. His bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. So in other words, he kept trusting in God. And from there is a shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your Father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your Father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. See, this scripture right here tells us that just as God did to Joseph, God is ready to do to his body. He is ready to give us every blessing, I mean, absolutely positively every blessing that he's ever promised us. But we have to trust him, we have to stand in faith, and we have to fight off the enemy who keeps coming and telling us God isn't going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen? Some are doing fine with this. They know who the enemy is, and some are not doing so fine because they are not yet strong enough in the Lord and they don't understand who the enemy is. And so they're really listening to the lies of the enemy and they're not remembering the promises of God. The number 7 symbolizes divine completeness, spiritual perfection, divine abundance, and wholeness. We read in Genesis 49 that the fullness of blessing for Joseph is indeed overflowing. What Jacob says of Joseph is history as well as prophecy. Jacob reminds him of the difficulties and fiery darts of temptations he had formerly struggled through. See that? Jacob reminds him, Joseph, of the difficulties and fiery darts of temptations he had formerly struggled through. His faith did not fail. Joseph's faith did not fail. But through his trials, he bore all his burdens with firmness. Yet be firm with the enemy. If you're not firm with the enemy, he's not going anywhere. He has to know that he knows that he knows that he has no hold on you. I'm going to use an example. Little Isaiah, that little spirit in him is ridiculous. There's a member of the family, he just beats up an adult. He beats him up, smacks him in the face and everything. He wouldn't even think of doing that to me. Because that devil in him isn't as big as a God in me. You see what I'm saying? And I talked to this adult and I said, you have an open door somewhere where that spirit in him knows that he can beat you up. I mean, he just walked up the other last night and socked him right in the side of the face. And I had to take control. But I said, why is it that this little child thinks that he can do this to you? That's the spirit in him. I said, there's something in you that you have to get straight. Because this spirit in him is bigger than God in you. It's even bigger than the devil in this person. Because it can beat him up. Do you understand that? Come on. The devil in little Isaiah is bigger than the devil in the adult. And it can beat that adult up. You really need to understand this. He looks at me and I said, don't you even try it, buddy. You devil from, I always say, you devil from hell. And he backs off. I'm firm with that devil. And you know, if I wasn't firm, because that's a spirit. That's not little Isaiah. That's because he's not always like that. It just all of a sudden takes him over and he just goes, and he goes berserk. So that's a spirit we're dealing with. And when I say, bind you in the name of Jesus, he says, don't do that. Don't start that, he says. And he starts crying. So that spirit does not want to have me to take control of him. That doesn't stop me, though I still do it. But see, right away, boy, it changes gears, and he's real mild and meek. You know, he doesn't want me to get that. Yeah, spirit doesn't want to come out of him. So Joseph's faith did not fail, but through his trials, he bore all his burden with firmness and did not do anything unbecoming. See that? Joseph did not do anything unbecoming. Jacob was well acquainted with this message because he had already walked out this reality and came out with total victory. Jacob was well acquainted with this message because Jacob had already walked out this reality and came out with total victory. What has God been telling you guys, or all of us? When we have the victory so we can lead somebody else into victory also. And if you read that one word, it says that he's getting ready to send the people in the house of God. And are we ready really to minister to them? He also talks about the deliverance ministry in there. You know, why are you not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing in deliverance ministry? You know, God is being really serious, right? He's always serious, but he's really getting down to the nitty gritty right now. And he wants us to get it together totally and completely 100%. It doesn't matter if you have a spirit in you that's not of God. That does not make you useless. It does not make you weak. You just have to get that thing out of you. But that doesn't mean you stop working for God either. You keep on working for God while you're trying to knock that other thing out of you, right? Isn't that right? Come on. We must never forget that all our strength for resisting temptations and bearing afflictions comes from God. His grace is sufficient. Joseph became the shepherd of Israel to take care of his father and family. And also the stone of Israel, their foundation and strong support. He became the stone of Israel. All right. What do you think you guys are supposed to be doing in the house of God? You're supposed to be doing the very same thing that Joseph did. You're supposed to be the shepherd of those lost sheep that God's going to send in. Then you're supposed to be strong, standing on the rock, Jesus Christ. So then you're the rock for the others to stand on until they know the fullness of Jesus. Are you understanding this? You have a big responsibility. And one day when you stand before the Father, he's going to say, why didn't you do what you know to do? All right. And don't say she didn't tell me, because that's not going to fly. All right. Blessings are promised to Joseph's descendants. Jacob blessed all his sons, but especially Joseph, who was separated from his brethren. All right. Blessings are promised to Joseph's descendants. Jacob blessed all his sons, but especially Joseph, who was separated from his brethren. Not only separated in Egypt, but possessing great dignity and was more devoted to God, you know, Joseph was. We have entered into a season of the fullness of God's blessings. As God asks us to abandon the pains from poor choices in the past, this is what he's been asking us to do. We let them go, did we not? Y'all came to the altar and let them go. We offered them on the altar of grace before God. And as we did this, we began to feel God's blessings begin to flow again in our lives. Did you do that? As you let go of the old junk, didn't you feel God's blessings? Now watch as God begins to restore your relationships. Has he started to restore some of your relationships? Because we did as God asked, we will now see our intimacy with our Father deepen day by day. You know, as you come up to the altar and you were doing all these things, now your relationship with God should deepen. And if you hear a song, you know, all of a sudden you start crying because there's something in that song that ministers to you. Or you might read an article and you just start weeping because of what was said in this article, where before you just read and say, well, you know. Or if you heard a song, you say, it's just another song. But now because you have a deeper relationship with God, you'll be moved with compassion. When you're singing or where you're reading or whatever's going on. Another meaning for the number seven is divine completeness. When Joseph was reunited through famine with his brothers who had sold him into slavery, God was bringing a conclusion to the way human flesh deals with problems. This is one of the best messages of God's grace for his own people that could be cited in the entire Bible. Joseph could have had his brothers executed. This is what I'm talking about here. This is one of the best. God was bringing a conclusion to the way human flesh deals with problems. See, instead of us wanting the people to die, we are now wanting to bless. I hope that's what's going on, because this is what God has been doing. Joseph could have had his brothers executed, yet he displayed overwhelming mercy and became the redeemer for not only his immediate family, but also national Israel. You see this? His brothers put him through a lot of hell. You know that as you read his story. Did he not? Did they not? But yeah, and he really, when he first met them, he wasn't too happy about it. But yet the compassion of God rose up in him, and all he wanted to do was cry over his brothers and bless them. This is where you and I should be at. We shouldn't be wanting to do anybody any harm. We should be wanting to bless them. Jacob was very knowledgeable of God's ability to turn tragedy into triumph. Jacob was very knowledgeable of God's ability to turn tragedy into triumph. You have to understand that in this season, saints. God is the one that turns tragedy into triumph. You do not. Demonstrating that if we will purpose to keep our eyes on God in the process, then God will allow the stones in our paths to become the very gates of God. And in other words, anything that Satan's afflicting you with, God can remove them things and bring you into his presence. This year, allow your stones and your path to become your Bethel of blessings. Now, this is year of Jubilee. You know that, don't you? And I hope each and every one of you are standing on that. And in the year of Jubilee, everything is turned around and every blessing is given back to you. Now, if you can't stand on that and you don't trust God, you don't believe, this won't be your year of Jubilee. But this is the real year of Jubilee. Genesis 28:11 says, so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on this ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land in which you lie. I will give you to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He told Jacob, in you, and see, and in each one of you in here tonight, what did he say there? And in you, Jacob, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And God is saying the very same thing to you and I tonight. What he's spoken to us, he's going to accomplish. He's not going to leave us. He's going to stay right there with us and see that it's accomplished. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, when we had church in our home, you know, I literally saw the stairs going from earth to heaven. I saw the angels ascending and descending. And I've tried to see that in this church, and I don't see it, you know, in this building. But I literally did see that, and there was miracle after miracle going on in the church, in the home. All right. And I don't know why I can't see it here, but I'm telling you, I really do try to see it, but haven't seen it as of yet. Jacob went on to say, a great price for the valuable lessons of a pathway from trickster to triumph. I'm sorry, Jacob went on to pay a great price for the valuable lessons of a pathway from trickster to triumph. Remember, he tricked his father to getting the blessing. Joseph was just one such reminder. Yet in the end, God turned all things around to bring us the message this year offers. 2017 is the birth of your turnaround. Please, whatever you're going through, keep going through it, because God is in there with you, and he really is turning around the situations in your life. And I don't care how you might have fallen or failed, you know, that's in the past, and we must move forward. God has told us we don't have the option to look back. Everybody else is right now. We don't have the option to look back. God is not a man that he should lie. And whatever you did in the past is in your past. You can't go back and change it. It's done. So let's all just move forward tonight. Determine, I'm going to move forward in this year. I am not going to look back. I'm not going to look back at that awful man or woman that I was. Because that's not who I am. That wasn't even me doing that. That was the enemy who got into my vessel and started using me, and I was ignorant of the fact that he was using me. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I am a vessel used by God, and I am going to do great mighty exploits for the Father. That's the way you have to think. That's the way you have to talk. That's the way you have to act. It doesn't matter if people come to you and say, well, you know what you did. You know, that doesn't matter what you did. And I don't even care if some of the things are still trying to linger or are lingering around you. God promised he's going to set us totally and completely free. Did you ever think about, you know, God said we're going to walk into the hospitals and empty all the hospitals out. People who are sick because spirits have control of them, right? So I often thought, how are we going to empty out the hospitals? It's going to be because we're so close to Jesus and we have so much of Jesus in us that the demons are going to jump out of them people and set those people free. And they're going to get up and walk out of that hospital. That came to me as I was sitting there tonight. See that? It doesn't matter how we were bound. We're set free now. We're set free. We really are. And I know some people are still struggling, but you're still set free. You just have not seen the end result of it. All right? And I'm not saying that I'm not trying to encourage you at all. I'm just telling you that's the truth. Because God told me that one time. You are free even though you don't see it, even though it's not manifested, that you are free and the freedom is coming. All right? Joseph was Jacob's favorite son, a favorite son. Is in the Hebrew, it's spelled Y-O-W-C-E-P-H. And means he increases or enlarges or becomes more full. Anybody here called Joseph? No? Too bad. Just as this time of revelation came to light to Joseph that his brothers lied to their father, It also lets us know that in 2017, we must let go of any sinful patterns of our past. This will bring a necessary healing of old sinful ways to a required end. God will now Joseph or enlarge our blessings into their fullness. We are in a season of divine completeness and wholeness. We must view what God desires as our lifestyle and not give in to human efforts of busyness. In other words, we have to see ourselves as God sees us and what God wants us to do, and we aren't supposed to be just trying to keep ourselves busy trying to say we're God's. We need to know what God wants us to do, and then we need to be about the Father's business. How many of you know you get busy with the things of God and not accomplish what God wants you to accomplish? You can do that. I know, did that, done that. Some of you have too, right? 2017 will be a year to end the strife of past broken relationships. And once again, move forward with your obedience to God, in birthing your full destiny. We cannot move forward without some very important divine completeness to past mistakes. We have to let go of the past mistakes, guys. We just have to. That's hard, because you know you hurt people, right? You know you hurt God, and it really is. It really takes a big effort to let go of that stuff. I've been there. I've done that, and I said, "But God," He said, "I don't want to hear what you did. You are not that person. You are a different person today. You know, like remember yesterday, I might have yelled at somebody." You know, and then the next, I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm not giving you any glory. And, you know, He said, let that alone. It happened yesterday. Just step into the day and forget about what you did yesterday. All right. The devil will beat you up with that, won't he? He will beat you right on up because you made a mistake. Tell the devil he's a liar and go on. We are not Jesus, and we're going to make mistakes. And when I read about the way Jesus talked to the people in the Bible, you know, I think, well, you know what? Maybe we are like Jesus. And we hate sin. And we can't help it when we get all riled up about sin. All right. This will enable us to walk in the gratitude of grace from our Lord as opposed to wandering in the wilderness of once forever. In other words, I said, get rid of your past mistakes. And when you get rid of your past mistakes, then you won't wander in the wilderness any longer. You'll know that you know that you know. That you have a God that gives you divine favor, and that He's so full of grace, He's just nothing but grace, and His grace is sufficient. If I ask for a show of hands, I know that everybody sitting here tonight said, would say, you have done something you're so ashamed of, and you wish you had never done it. You know, but God's grace. God's grace. I yelled at one of the little kids yesterday, and Gabriel said, why do you always do that? And I thought, I shouldn't do that. And I was ashamed that I did it, you know, but I did it. And I apologized, but that didn't take away the fact that I yelled at him. And I said, well, you know, we're older, and we don't like to have guns put in our face, you know, machine gun action in your face, and kids jumping around you and slapping you. And I said, yeah, I said, quietly, please don't do that. And 15 minutes later, I'm still saying, please, get the gun out of my face now, you know, then, well, you hurt my feelings. Well, you know, you're driving my nerves right to the very end, right? But yet, you know, I said, God, you please give me patience. You put these kids in my life to raise. Give me patience with them, right? I'm glad I only have two and not eight. It is important that you position yourself to birth your prophetic destiny right now. It is important that you position yourself to birth your prophetic destiny right now. Now. And I notice everybody's talking about now. God's prophesying about now. And He's told us about the now. It's not tomorrow. Not 10 years from now. I remember one lady used to come here, and I love her to pieces. She's my best friend. And she'd say, well, you know, I'm just a baby Christian, you know. And I said, how long you been saved, born again? Well, 3 years, but I'm still a baby Christian. And I said, no, you're not either. Every time she'd do something wrong, well, you know, I'm just a baby Christian. You have to give me space. She finally quit that and said, boy, you put up with a lot, but I mean, We're not baby Christians any longer. We're grown up. You know, we're warriors, right? Isn't that what we've been saying? We were singing we're warriors. Well, are we singing a lie? And we sing we're no longer a slave to sin, right? And no longer slaves, or wherever that song goes. Are we singing a lie? That is who we are. We are no longer slaves to the devil. We're not. All right, so grace is sufficient for all our needs. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast of my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul is saying, I'd rather boast that I'm being beat up by the devil, because God's grace is sufficient as the devil's beating me up. Are you listening here? God has been encouraging every one of us to forget the past. Embrace your fullness of blessings and take that message to a very hurting world. You know, and if you're really forgetting the past, what you're doing is you're sitting and all of a sudden the past comes to you and you realize that you made mistakes. You were blaming somebody else and you yourself was making mistakes all along. But in the past, with all that's going on, you thought you were the perfect one. And then you realize, well, I did this, and you know, and I did this, and I did this, and you know, and this was an assignment, and I was higher than that, but then I didn't understand, and it isn't God's fault. I didn't understand. I should ask God. You know what I'm saying? So let's quit that. Let's just forget the past. People hurt us, but did they really hurt us, or was it our stupidity that got us hurt? The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And if God gave us an assignment with somebody and they did things that blew your mind, you know, and then you got all upset and then you talked about them, you know, or you left them or whatever you did to them. Well, you did all that for lack of knowledge. You didn't go before the God of heaven and ask him to explain to you exactly what it is he put you into. I was there, done that. Come on. We need to start going before the Father. Say, okay, God, you say I don't understand. So you better give me a little bit of understanding here because I'm about ready to do something I shouldn't do. Right? Explain to me what's going on here. Right? Isn't that right? But instead, we just fumble along and pick up a phone and call somebody or texting, and I don't know how to text, but anyhow, you do all that stuff, you know. And instead, you should say, God, you know, you have the answer. Will you please tell me what's going on here? What have you done to me? You didn't tell me all this was going to go on whenever you asked me to take on this assignment. All right? Come on. See, you could say, oh, poor Brady took on 6 kids. No, poor Nancy, she took on another child. Isn't that true, Brett? He wasn't grown up. He said that all along. He said, now he says, he didn't ever tell me that before, but I knew it. You know, she took on another baby. And she had to contend with this grown-up baby now, with that, besides 6 kids, teenagers, and whatever they were. That's the truth. And then she did a whole lot of dumb things, because she just didn't know her God was going to give her a baby to raise. Come on. I got me a Christian man. I've already had 2 dummies. Now I got a Christian man. Perfect in all of his ways. He's going to stand by my side and we're going to just walk for God like you wouldn't believe. Then the bottom dropped out and she didn't know where she's at. Y'all already said this, right? If you didn't, I'm helping you along. But, you know, that goes in all of our lives. Right? I don't even want to go on that subject. Where am I at here? This year will become I know what I was saying about forgetting the past, you know, and you have to really be honest with yourself and look back there and say, you know what? I wasn't perfect in that mess either. I did things to make it even worse, you know, or compound the situation. And come to grips with the truth. Well, I said, all right, God, so I need delivered to something here because I had one husband, I talked about him, and then I had to ask him to forgive me. Now he gave me another husband, and I talked about him. So, you know what I'm saying? doesn't matter if it's truth or not, it's still talked about when I got chastised over the first husband. This is what I'm saying. You have to be honest with yourself. The problem is too many people want everybody else to believe you're God, and you're not. Definitely no, I'm not. Okay. This year will become the beginning of one of the most unprecedented times of harvest this nation and world has ever experienced. God has told me I'll be blown away with the lost souls he's going to all of a sudden send in here. We're going to be blown away with it. God has been preparing us for this reaping. Reaping is best for those who have prepared their nets. In other words, you have to get yourself together. You were supposed to be getting yourself together for the last 2 years really strong. So that because God said the souls are going to come in suddenly, and you have to be ready to minister to them. When one of them walks to the door and smacks little Adam on the head back there, he better be ready to say, rebuke that devil. Say, get out of there, devil, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on. You don't know what's going to happen when they start coming through the door. You know. I mean, we used to have some really wild things go on in here when the world started coming in here. It was something. It's coming again worse because now the world is worse than what it was 10 years ago. Tonight I'm asking you to increase your vision of a mighty move of God. First in your life and then in the lives of those you come in contact with. You have to really vision God doing something great and mighty through you. And then vision what God's going to use you to do with the ones he's bringing into the house of God. If you don't have a vision, you perish, right? We have to have a vision what's going to be happening. My vision isn't too good because I can see all these people coming in. I can see Adam and Aaron saying, I think I'll go back to Virginia. And you know, heck. I'm just picking on them tonight, you know. Alan said, oh, look, she got a devil in her eyes. You know. Twitching her head so there's a witch there. See, we can't do that no more. We can't do that. We have to be prepared. And when they come in, we have to be the strong towers. And we have to say, when they walk in here and they look at Adam, they should say, what are you going to do with me, Adam? And he's going to say, you're going to come out in the name of Jesus because you have Jesus standing in front of you. Then he's going to watch him flee. Amen. Come on. I won't say that. I'll be good. Deliberately make time to allow the Lord to draw you into a deep hunger for intimacy with him and the sheep of his pasture. You have to deliberately make time to be with the Father so that you can have an intimate relationship with him and so he can give you the grace and the heart for the sheep that he's going to send in that need to be tended to. He cares for every one of his creation. I don't care if you're a sinner or a saint. God loves you. He made us to glorify him in all the earth. All right? He made us to glorify him in all the earth. In other words, wherever we go, we should glorify God. 2017 is a year of great unprecedented breakthroughs with great signs, wonders, and miracles everywhere we turn. God just starts speaking that to me. God has promised that we shall see much angelic activity around about us and that he is going to open our spiritual eyes to see as he sees. And what more can we ask for? Adam, are you ready out there as the usher? All of a sudden, God open your eyes when people walk in and see the demons hanging all over them? He's being honest. See, I told you what he would do. No, God will. You know, we need that. We need to be able to see. Just like I read Jay Bartlett's blog today, and he said he looked at this man and he saw murder in his eyes. Now, can you walk up to somebody and look in their eyes and see demons in their eyes? You know, when people can't look in your eyes, you know, that's not them. That's that demon. They don't want to be exposed. Sometimes if I'm trying to talk to people, they're going, they never once want to look at my face. Why? Because that demon in there says, she knows me, and I don't want to be revealed. Amen. Puts me mind that little girl that when I walked in the other day, she said, hi. Looked right in my eyes, like, who is she? And kept going right here, look at me square in the eyes, you know. And she says, you know me? And I said, yeah, I know you. I didn't know her from Adam. And she's been a little bit of time since you see me. And I said, well, how old are you now? She said, 17. I said, well, wow, you really grew up. Then I thought it was somebody else. Wow, you really grew up. Then I found out who she was. I said, no, she didn't grow up. That devil was just tormenting me. I mean, I knew she was messed up, but that devil was tormenting me. He got right in my face. You see that? You go watch the devil. All right, begin to thank the Lord for all his love and grace and care that he gave us more than we could ever deserve. This will also be a year for praise and thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, verse 1, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. See that? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now you have to believe that. And we have to be doing that. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, with praise. Enter into his gates with singing. Oh, wow, wow. Now we have to be vibrant. We have to be excited. We have to let the people see something different. When the world comes in, they don't want to see what they just left. They want to see something much greater. Because what they just left was nothing. But they want to see us singing and dancing and rejoicing. And we come in here and plop down our seat and just sit there. I was reading Wilkerson's article the other day. You know, he's passed away, but they posted one of his articles, and he said his people wouldn't dare come into his church and just sit. They had to be up front. Everybody had to be there 1 hour early praying, and they had to be up there in that altar praying. And if it became 11 o'clock and they weren't through praying, you know, he prayed right along with them. You prayed until he said it was finished. Then he started his service. He said that the house of God has to be a house of prayer, and it isn't that anymore. And I was thinking about that. I used to come here when I could go upstairs and go up there and lay my face, you know, for a half hour, 45 minutes before the service and pray and seek God. And I don't do that anymore because there's no place to go except that chair. But see, that's what we need. We need to come in here instead of talking to each other and telling each other the problems. We need to be praying. And I know that the flag team walks a little bit and prays, but you know, everybody else should be up here walking and praying too. I remember I used to go to a church, visit a church up there in Newark, and they had a prayer room. And anybody wanted to, you know, when he had the guest speakers in, you could go in there in that prayer room and pray. I'd go in there. They'd be in there, boy, just a shouting the walls down. And I got excited. I like that better than anything. And I'd get in there and pray right along with them. And they would have wonderful services because people were praying and not doing other junk. All right, King David appointed Levites to lead in prayer. Thanksgiving and praise, and you'll find it in 1 Chronicles, we're going to read that in 16. At the heart of this chapter is thanksgiving. Beginning in verse 7, David recited his own psalm, thanks to the Lord. The verses following reveal a beautiful song of gratitude to God. So it says, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. You know, David wrote the psalm. It was a song. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. See, David wrote this down. This is what he wanted the people to do. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. See, he's telling him, remember what God spoke to you. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance when you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. See, when they were very few, he promised to give them the land of Canaan. Isn't that what he said? When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. See that? No man could do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. See, the children were his anointed ones. He separates them from the prophets. Do not touch my anointed. Every one of you in here are an anointed one. And do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. You know, whenever he says give him an offering, he's saying worship him. Come before him and tell him how wonderful he is. How many of you tell God how wonderful he is? You know, he wants us to come before him and tell him how wonderful he is. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar. See, we don't do that. We say the devil reigns because we're always boohooing. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. What does it say? Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. How many of you, whenever you have trouble round about you, instead of you concentrating on the trouble, you go to God and you just say, God, you're so wonderful. You're just full of grace. You're just full of mercy. And I know you love me and I know you're working this situation, but you just keep telling him how wonderful he is. Excuse me. And just keep thanking him for all the great and mighty things he's done to you. I've do that so many times because the situation is just overbearing and it's taking me under. And I go before God and I'll just say, I love you. I love you. I love you. You're so wonderful. You've done this for me. You've done that for me. And you promised me this. You promised me that. And you are the mighty one, oh God, you know. And then that thing lifts. But it isn't until I go, excuse me, I go and do that, that the thing lifts. Otherwise, I'm burdened down with it. And if we would see what happens is you take your mind off that situation and you put your mind solely and completely upon the Lord. And God takes care of the situation for you. We need to understand that true worship of God issues forth from grateful hearts. You're grateful for what God has done for you. The problem is in the body of Christ, people are not grateful. Give me, give me, give me. If you don't, then, you know, you better give me. We need to understand that true worship of God issues forth from grateful hearts. Exchange a spirit of bitterness for a spirit of thanksgiving. You hear that? Exchange a spirit of bitterness for a spirit of thanksgiving. Have you ever watched somebody that's bitter? And they keep getting more bitter, more bitter, more bitter. And after a bit, they're so twisted. You know, what they're doing is constantly looking at their problem and they're not thanking God for his grace and his mercy. They're not thanking God that they're still alive. They're not thanking God that, you know, that he is working behind the scenes. And that's why you become bitter, because you keep looking at the situation and you don't thank God for what he's doing. Because he always says, I'm working behind the scenes. I don't care if it takes him 10 years to get the work accomplished. He's still working behind the scenes and you still should be thanking him for his grace and his mercy to you. Because it could make you go into a nut house somewhere. Amen. All right, a feeling such as bitterness, envy, hostility, and pride disqualifies anyone from genuine worship. A feeling such as bitterness, envy, hostility, and pride disqualifies anyone from genuine worship. Thanksgiving opens up the door of our heart toward God in such a way that the individual is freed for true worship of God. Everywhere in Scripture, the spirit of thanksgiving is revealed as vital to our worship experience. King David had a lifestyle of one trial after another, did he not? That could have been his ending at any moment if he had ever given in to defeat. Read that again. King David had a lifestyle of one trial after another that could have been his ending at any moment if he had ever given into defeat. However, he had the same faithfulness that Joseph and Jacob possessed. They allowed themselves no room for destruction. Praise and worship before Almighty God became not only a healing salve to their tattered souls, but also a weapon of praise against the wiles of the devil. Likewise, we need to incorporate praise as a lethal weapon in our spiritual arsenal. What did God tell us? He told me, he said, I'm not using all the weapons I've given them. And praise is one you're not. I know a lot of you sitting here right now, you say, oh, if I had only known this 20 years ago. You didn't know it 20 years ago. So situations happen, and those situations are over with. You're in a new day, the new dawning, new revelation. So let's just go from today and forget about the mistakes you made yesterday, because I've made a buku and so have you. And we're just going to walk on with God and forget about everything else except God and his goodness. Right? You'd be surprised. You might even walk up to somebody you was really upset with for 50 years and say, I'm really sorry that I misjudged you. Because you'll realize, the closer you get to God and the more you open up, you're going to realize that you weren't all that perfect either. And you were making mistakes right along with them. And you're going to find yourself saying, I'm really sorry that I judged you the way I did. Or treated you the way I did, whatever. Psalms 30, verse 11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. This is David. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Why? That I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Read that scripture again. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. Now, some of you haven't done that, so don't lie to God. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Why? That I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Be like David. He had the spirit of thanksgiving for saving himself from his enemies. Psalm 31:1 says to the chief musician, a psalm of David, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. David says in the beginning, I put my trust. Well, he says, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. David's saying, whatever happens in my life, I've already put all my trust in you. And I believe that you're going to redeem me and you're going to deliver me out of the messes that I'm in. And I won't be ashamed. He's saying it before it ever happens. If you would have that attitude, and if you would tell God that you're trusting him now, before, you know, and no matter what comes into your life, that you're trusting him, knowing that he is with you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, you'd be surprised how you'll be able to go through the trials and tribulations of this life. Amen? And that is the truth. We have had a real year of trials of our faith, right? We need to understand that the trying of our faith is what makes Christians stronger. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And I'm going to tell you, I stand here tonight and tell you that is the absolute, of course, the whole Bible's truth, but that is the absolute truth. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth me out of them all. So you got to put yourself in these situations. Tonight is the time to begin drawing into the heart of our Father and to thank him for all he has done for a people who deserve none of his goodness. This is a year to press into and beyond the fullness of blessings. Into and beyond the fullness of blessings. Divine abundance, divine completeness for you and your family. Read that again. This is a year to press into and beyond the fullness of blessings, divine abundance, divine completeness for you and your family. God once told me that the lighthouse walked under every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And one time, years later, I said, I don't see us walking under that. And he said, do you trust me? So he said it, and I believe it. I might not see it with my natural eyes, but God said it, and I believe it, and I know it's happening. Why don't we grab hold of those blessings and allow God? Well, what I said was God once told me that the lighthouse walked under every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm saying, why don't we grab hold of those blessings and allow God to pour them out upon us tonight? Because this is blessing year. This is year of abundance, divine overflow. So why don't we just go ahead and just quit our dumbness and just trust and believe God for every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to overflow upon us. I don't care if you can't even don't have two pennies to rub together. I don't care about that. God said he would supply your needs, and supply our needs he will. But we have to trust him first. We have to believe and know that his word is yes and it's amen. We've done enough grumbling, moaning, groaning, and complaining, and I'm tired of hearing it, right? I'm talking to people saying, you need to go to Nancy and sign up for a deliverance because I can't deal with this no more. You're not going to rob me of my, I've got my joy back, and you're not robbing me of my joy. Come on. So you go get a deliverance so you and I can get along together. Because I can't deal with your devils anymore, right? And I'm not moving out of my house, so the devil has to go. Come on. But I don't do it with an ignorant heart. I do it with a happy heart, a thankful heart, and a smile on my face with, I love you, and this is what you need to do, right? Do you have people that are just really, you know, they need a deliverance? It's some, you know, you need to go call Nancy Connell. She'll set you up for a deliverance. You need, you'll have a good time at it. You'll feel better when it's all over with. You'll be surprised what's down in there. The other night, Gabriel said to me, you know, I really do love you as my mother. And he said, but if there was another mother out there that was better than you, I'd still stay with you because I'm comfortable with you now. I said, I got to put you in, get you in that deliverance session because you drive me to distraction. You know, that old devil, he just rears his old head up here anytime he feels like it and says whatever he wants to. And aren't you tired of the devil saying what he wants to when he wants to? But you talk to somebody who has a demon in them, you tell them they have a demon. They don't want to hear that, do they? But they can do all their junk all day. That demon in them can do their junk all day long. Well, aren't you tired of that? Get the joy of the Lord. Get your boldness going. And let's just tear the devil's kingdom down. Quit talking about it and do it. All right, so what did I say? Why don't we grab hold of the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob tonight and just let God pour that out upon us tonight, all those blessings. God said he wants to restore the household of faith. He wants the household of faith to trust him. And he wants to bless us. He said the Joseph blessing is there in the atmosphere. All we have to do is believe for it and grab hold of it. So tonight, if you want to come to the altar, you know, and just, you don't have to lay there for 2 hours. If you want to come to the altar and just let God pour out the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob upon you, where you have have you ever read about Abraham, and you know, who is it? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had no need. They had no wants. No wants. They had overflow after overflow. They kept all kind of people, all kind of kingdoms. So, come on, guys. We're supposed to be a sample for the world out there, right? You're talking about this here, Jesus, who can supply all of our needs, and you're walking in poverty every day. You can have spiritual poverty too, you know. Come on, let's just receive that blessing tonight.